Let's go back.
The female scientist banged the butt of her bolt-action rifle on the icy rock beneath her feet.
All right, all right!
Take it easy. It's not a question of laying blame. But the fact is, we're lost, right?
Yes, but only until the snow clears away. Then I shall be able to locate our position.
Sure you will, lady. Sure you will. But by then we might all be frozen stiffer than a dog's pecker. We've been moving higher up, not down. The trail's freezing so hard now with dark on the way that it's solid ice behind us. We got food. We need to find a cave or something like that.
But the snow's so thick we couldn't see a cave if we were nearly inside it.
We move ahead. Keep close to the cliff on our right. If luck's with us, we'll find a shelter.
And if we don't?
We'll have to use drifted snow and try to build us some kind of igloo. A snow house big enough for all of us. Then we wait, huddle together, until this blows itself out.
All right. I'm not having sex with you, Ryan.
Oh, my cheeks are frozen. And my toes.
That's frostbite, dear. Get down around minus 50 and you lose blood flow to exposed flesh in about 10 minutes. Gangrene could kick in within a few hours.
The sick man Brunner had wandered a little ahead. Now he returned.
Looks like there could be something up ahead, like a cavern.
Oh, it's a miracle!
You think so? The man who counts chickens before they hatch ends up with a handful of broken shells.
We're ready to see you now, Miss Roth. Sorry to have kept you waiting for so long out here.
All right.
Where's your colleague?
Mildred had a migraine headache, and she's gone back to her room for a lie-down.
Perhaps I could send along someone, too?
No need. She didn't want to be interrupted. Can we get started?
Of course.
The group stood together, eight strong, outside the arched entrance to the cave, peering into its black, soundless depths.
Go inside there and check it out, Brunner!
Thea Gibson pointed into the darkness with her rifle, in case there was any misunderstanding about what the sick man was supposed to be checking out.
Not on my own!
Then take Moore and Cook with you! You can hold each other's hands in the dark!
Brunner stepped a few yards into the cave.
We should have brought lights! And it stinks in here! Smells like rotten meat! Yes!
Move it!
Moore and Cook reluctantly moved forward to join Brunner. Then the three sick men disappeared inside. Ryan slowly took the styre off his shoulder and readied it for action. At his side, unbidden, Trader did the same with his armalite. Thea Gibson noticed their movements.
Think there's trouble in there?
There's a bear shit in the cave.
Let's give ourselves some room here.
Ryan led the way quickly out onto the ledge, barely 10 feet wide. Brunner raced into the blizzard, sliding and slipping, almost dropping his scattergun.
It's coming! It got more Cook!
Get ready.
Ryan knelt and leveled the rifle. Trader and the woman followed his lead, the surviving sick men watching them, frozen in terror.
Here it comes!
Christy had once seen a brief snippet from an ancient vid, so old it was in black and white. A young person had been standing in front of a circle of judges, all perched up at high benches. He was being interrogated by them. She felt rather like that, as she sat in a white-walled laboratory. A clock on the wall told her that it was already 20 minutes to 2. Through a long, narrow window, Christy could see that there was a serious blizzard raging outside, and her thoughts turned to Ryan. She tried to feel how things were, but could only receive a number of confused, jumbled images, mostly overlaid with blurring whiteness. Crichton, tiny and frail, was sitting in a black leather and chrome chair. He waved a clawed hand toward her.
Oh, sorry to have taken so long, my dear. There was a rather extended argument amongst ourselves about the form that this examination should follow.
Christy sat in a straight-backed wooden chair with a padded seat and short, stubby arms, facing her inquisitors. They numbered 9 in total, most of them vaguely familiar from the supper. She noticed banks of computers all around the walls, making the place look like one of the Gateway control centers. There were a number of silver headsets, like crash helmets, with long curling wires leading from them.
Christy, please pay attention to what I'm about to say.
Sorry.
We have agreed to start with an informal question and answer session about your earlier life, to see if there are any significant environmental factors that should be taken into account. But all this is probably beyond your intellect.
No.
No?
Christy shook her head, aware that the sentient flaming hair was curled defensively around her nape, clinging tightly to her skull.
No.
Very well. Please respond as quickly as you can to our questions. Don't bother to try to work out what would be a good or a favored response. Do you understand that?
Of course.
Very well. What is your first memory?
Christy answered their questions for more than an hour, without a break. There was a very old woman on the far right of the line of questioners who appeared to be sleeping. Her eyes never opened, and her hand stayed folded on the desk in front of her. She seemed to be oblivious to the interrogation. Suddenly, reacting like a lizard sensing food nearby, her ancient eyes creaked open. The old woman's long finger pointed at Christy, who noticed that the nail was so uncared for that it had curled in on itself like horn, the tip almost piercing the flesh. The woman's toothless mouth moved.
How did you lose your cherry, my dear?
That falls into the box labeled My Own Business.
Why?
Christy considered the question and decided that there wasn't really a good reason not to answer it.
The blacksmith back at Harmonyville was called Herb Lanning. He had a real good-looking son, Carl. I chose him.
You selected him? Isn't that contrary to your societal mores?
My mother raised me to be different. I knew what sex can be like in Deathlands. There was a good chance I might lose my virginity to violence. I didn't want that. I wanted it under my control. Carl was sweet and gentle, and he had a great body. Beautiful muscle definition across his chest, shoulders, and stomach. The pity was that he had a brain the size of a horseshoe nail.
Did you, rape him?
Seduced is a much nicer word. It was good for me, and I think it was like an angel's gift from heaven for him. So we both got what we desired.
You didn't consider marrying him?
That would be like marrying a fence post. Of course not. No, we never did it again, though Gaia knows he kept asking me.
Fascinating. But I think we would like to talk about your mysterious power now.
Mildred wanted to gain access to the part of the wing where Ryan had seen the faded remains of the gateway sign. But the sec guards were vigilant, and she was lucky not to get caught by them. Now she was in a narrow corridor that ran along the outside of the building and seemed to be very little used. There were dust bunnies in the corners and spiderwebs across the angles of the windows, which revealed the blizzard outside. It seemed as though the corridor had been originally utilized by service operatives in the old times. She slowed her pace, going on tiptoe past an open skylight above a sealed door. Inside, she could smell the bitter tang of coffee sub. She placed her ear to the door.
Yeah, once it's done, they'll test to try and overcome the personality typing.
We don't want another Ellison incident.
The growth accelerator is a mighty
cook. Matt Crichton reckons she could be the big one.
That I agree with, but I still say the others should be excised from the frame of reference while outside. They can be handled easily enough out there.
As Mildred shifted her weight from one foot to the other, a loose floor tile under her right foot slid forward. Thrown off balance for a moment, her elbow hit the door.
What was that?
Mildred moved as quickly and quietly as she could. She ducked into a storage closet and waited, her heart pounding. But nobody came after her. Mildred stayed in the musty darkness for several minutes, replaying the odd moments of conversation, trying to make some sense out of them. Suddenly, the pieces began to come together.
No!
Crichton leaned forward, his head trembling, a thin thread of spittle trailing down onto his scrawny chest.
Please, Christy, it is such a small request.
Not small enough, Professor.
It's just a minuscule prick.
Oh, I bet you say that to all the girls.
It's just one injection to relax